Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Bring them out. Woo! Oh, welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you on this Monday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and the Sox and everything else MLB coming your way in 90 minutes from now. Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the draft at 9:18. And speaking of the draft, Cap, it is draft week. It is finally here. And we have been crawling to be able to get to this moment, month after month, week after week, talking about the Chicago Bears. First of all, a lot of the offseason, you and I have been talking about Caleb Williams coming to the Bears. There was Caleb deniers thinking that that Justin Fields had another chance. As we continue to tell people, no, there was going to be a deal in place, and Caleb Williams will be the man. And boy, you talk about trying to get inside his personality and his head. He had a long interview with The Pivot the other day.
So I listened to that whole entire interview twice. I got on the plane. I'm listening to it. I listened to it again last night into this morning on my way in. It's awesome, awesome stuff. We're here. This is draft week. This truly is the dawning of a new era for the Chicago Bears. We have got a brand new offensive coaching staff. We have an unbelievable infrastructure that we've never seen in this town to support said young quarterback, and he will be the guy getting drafted at number one on Thursday. No more do we have to listen to any of this nonsense, trade it for the Hall and do this and do that. This deal you and I have been talking about for a long time. They had to do their due diligence on Caleb, but they were moving on from Justin since mid-last season.
Yeah.
That was it. They were moving on. It was never a discussion point up there at Halas Hall. They were getting a new quarterback.
You know, I find it fascinating how people look at Caleb Williams are uncomfortable with the unconventional. Mm-hmm. Uncomfortable with the unconventional, meaning that he's a young man that has got the world by the balls. He's the number one draft pick in the National Football League. He's going to a world-class city like Chicago, and people want to delve into his personality or his perceived personality versus what he could do for the Chicago Bears. For me, as a Bears fan, Cap, my whole issue is find players to make the team better so we can see them as a perennial playoff team and so I could see the Bears in the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl at least one more time in my lifetime. Because I saw it, and there's so many in our audience, Cap, that are so young, they don't even realize what it's like when the Chicago Bears are good on a regular basis, when they are the front page news, when they're winning playoff games or in the Super Bowl, when they win the Super Bowl. Cap, I lived this as a kid, as a young person. I saw the Bears once again get to the Super Bowl. It was a year that I did not enjoy because there were so many people that had so much backlash on Rex Grossman, did not believe in this team, did not believe in our opportunity to beat the Colts. Yeah, they fell short, but it wasn't the same as 85. And so I want for Caleb Williams, and I want for Ryan Poles, and I want for the Bears and Bears fans to be able to experience what you and I have experienced.
Correct.
Of how it's not, I mean, Cubs won the World Series, and yes, this city was on fire. White Sox win the World Series, and we've seen the Blackhawks win three Stanley Cups. Boy, when the Bears win, amen, but win big and then get on top, it is amazing. The ride is absolutely amazing to see the Chicago Bears on top of the sports world.
1985 was a coronation in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. They went one loss, 15-1, blah, 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 roll all the way, get to the Super Bowl, and just eviscerate the Patriots 46-10. I mean, it's never a game. Now, I want to see us have the Pat Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers, that guy where you go, oh, God, we got to deal with this guy again.
Yeah.
And I heard the afternoon show, Waddle and Sylvie, saying the other day, if he is who we think he is, 20 years from now, when you do the Mount Rushmore again of Chicago sports, he'd be number two. Michael will never be replaced, but he would be number two. But the pivot interview, which you can find on social media, it's Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor. And they're sitting in Caleb's penthouse apartment in L.A., where you can see the stadium where they play, the Coliseum, right out the window. And he is open and honest and a hint of self-confidence that shines through, that this is where I'm meant to be. This is what I've been working my entire life for. And he brought up the painted nails and the this and the crying with your mom. And he answered all of it. It is football porn, man. It is unbelievable. And I kept saying to you, Hoodie, see that light down at the tunnel? It's getting a little brighter. It's a freaking train with a Bears logo. It's about to pull into the station on Thursday night.
Let's give a sample of the pivot with Caleb Williams speaking about a lot of different topics, including the number one thing, how is he going to help the Bears?
85 Bears. One is through my care, one for football, one for my teammates, but also something that I've done myself is community-wise, bringing the whole landscape together. I did it at Gonzaga. I've done it here at USC. I mean, we've sold out games here at USC, and that hasn't been done in a couple years. You know, bringing the fans back, bringing the love and joy. One of the things that I get a lot is kind of what we spoke about when I first sat down is I get a lot of, like, thank yous from USC fans, yeah, and people around the city, not just at the games, but I mean, I'd be a honor bar and you know, Bev Hills, and I get a random thank you for doing this for USC. So bringing the community and showing my care for all three levels of for myself, of ball, for my teammates, and then for the community that makes game days, the game,
yep,
everything, the city, lively and fun and enjoyable and all of that. And that's kind of three things is care. Care goes a long way. Places that love football, places that care about football, places that have the same, you know, goals and aspirations in mind.
Thoughts there from Caleb Williams from The Pivot. You know, I think it needs to be said that when you are playing for USC, it is a pressure cooker. You say, well, there's nothing more pressurized than the Chicago Bears. True, on the football level for the NFL, and in the city, there's no doubt. But, Cap, when it comes to USC, you know, the Rams and the Chargers, they don't resonate. But the pro team in Los Angeles is USC.
Correct.
And so you're thinking about all kind of reporters up and down Orange County that's asking all these questions about USC, because he talks about how that place was sold out because he was the attraction. The offense was the attraction for USC. Clearly, if you take a look at the numbers, it had to be a reason to go.
Correct.
It kind of reminds you of Arena League football, didn't it? But some of those crazy numbers that they put up offensively. But the point is, Cap, is that he had plenty of pressure. Now, it's different in the NFL, but boy, the litmus test and whether you can handle pressure, everyone asking, why'd you lose that game? Why'd you have that turnover? Why's your team underachieving? He got a lot of that with the LA media.
He did. And that whole interview, I mean, I highly recommend just look up on social media, The Pivot. And it is Ryan Clark's, I guess, video podcast, YouTube show with Channing Crowder and with Fred Taylor. And it is, I mean, they get into every topic. And the painted nails to the crying to the mom to I'm chasing one guy, 12. Were you a Commanders fan? You remember all this. You grew up a Commanders fan. How can you not trade him for the Hall to the Commanders? No, was not a Commanders fan. Aaron Rodgers fan. He said, so I rooted for Green Bay, but I did not follow him to the Jets. And he said, I don't have a team. I just want to win. It's all I care about. Just win. Whatever it takes.
Sounds strange for Caleb Williams to be a Chicago Bear and grew up as a Commanders fan, but...
My dad tried to raise me to be a Redskins fan is what I knew it as back then.
Right.
Now Washington Commanders. I couldn't get into it. I don't have a team now. My team was Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers was there because of Aaron Rodgers. I'm a player guy and Aaron Rodgers is my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon. I'm still Aaron Rodgers fan. He's still my guy, but I couldn't join the bandwagon of becoming a Jets fan. I couldn't do it. So I'm still an Aaron Rodgers fan. If he's playing for somebody, I'm a root for him and things like that. So that's my answer to that.
About that,
right? And a lot of the analysts and draft experts have compared the way he plays. They said he's got some Mahomes with the creativity out of the pocket, but he plays much more like Aaron Rodgers in the position. If he's as good as Aaron Rodgers, sign me the heck up.
Well, Cap, it is a there's a generation gap there. You get it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers been in the game what, around 20 years.
Yep.
I mean, so you can understand why a young man says the way that guy plays, the way he has his footwork, the way he seems calm at all times. Yeah, I can relate to that. And so Caleb Williams looks at him kind of like how young NBA players look at LeBron in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this old learning tree that's been around for 20 years. Well, I grew up watching him. There's young people that grew up watching LeBron is playing against LeBron right now in the league. So I get that from Caleb Williams. I know, listen, for the guy with the gnarled fingers that's there slamming down, you know, Pat's Blue Ribbon, they're not going to be happy after hearing that. It's like, this guy was an Aaron Rodgers. Hey, man, you got to be able to look at greatness and say, how can I get there? Aaron Rodgers is one of the great quarterbacks that we've ever seen. He just is.
Correct.
Look at the numbers. Look at the hammer that he's put down on the Bears for years and years and years. You can't deny his greatness. Now, as much as I dislike the idea that the Packers have been burying the Bears for such a long time, and now Jordan Love is carrying that mantle, apparently, the point is that Aaron Rodgers has been great. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. He's an amazing football player, one of the five or six or seven greatest quarterbacks to ever play the sport. Because he tortured our favorite team. Sucked. When he runs that end zone. I own you. Well, guess what? We may have a new owner rolling into town on Thursday night.
Well, that's the hope. That's the hope. For 10 plus years, that is the hope. Because it's needed. I've seen great defenses before. I've seen great running backs before. Haven't seen a great quarterback. I'm checking off lists as I round the back nine in my life, Cap. I'm checking off the list of things that I've enjoyed and I've seen from my Chicago sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
The franchise quarterback that you and I have not checked that off just as of yet.
That's the only box. I saw the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest of all time right there. Saw my Cubs win. Saw the White Sox win. Saw the Blackhawks win 3. Saw the Sky win. I haven't ever seen a quarterback like this.
Kendall? We turn now to
That's it.
Sky win the championship. This is incredible. I mean, Kendall. We turn now to Caleb Williams.
That was the me hosting the parade.
Kendall.
I don't have much for you.
So before we go to the phone lines, let's open the phone lines now, Shay. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. One of the things that's really dangerous is the comparisons, because we see Caleb Williams as a college quarterback and everyone makes this connection of he could be one of the all time greatest. And he's compared to this person before he even takes a snap yet. There's a skill set and there's always shades of a certain quarterback or a certain player. He goes, well, you know what? That skill set reminds me of blank. But those comparisons could be wild and they could be crazy. Because you could be saddled with those even though you didn't ask for it. He just comes in as Caleb Williams. And someone says, boy, you remind me of Patrick Mahomes. Well, wow, that's a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a stretch. Because if he's not, if he's way less than that, then he's baby Jordan.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, right?
Right, right. And the young go, who? Yeah, there was a kid named Harold Miner from USC, ironically, that they called Baby Jordan, and he was a bust in the end.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. So let's ask this question. 312-332-3776. Bears fans, this is draft week. We're finally here. What is your excitement level for the Bears right now? Your excitement level for the Chicago Bears as we are getting closer and closer to the draft. I mean, 10 would be exciting, and 1 would be the lowest. Are you a 5 or a 6? Where's your number as you drive along this morning? What's your excitement level about here we are with draft week and Caleb Williams is about to be a Bear?
And we also need to play him where he was when he found out the Bears traded Justin. So we'll get to that.
Yep. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're just trying to gauge your interest and your excitement about what's going to happen this week with the draft for the Chicago Bears. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Cap and Jay Hood morning show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to let you know that we're going to qualify one person for a $1,000 free bet at Club Hawthorne when you hear the horse gallop in the 8 o'clock hour. So think about it. We got the Kentucky Derby. We got the Preakness. We got the Belmont. We've got all of the great races right around the corner, Cap. And so we're going to qualify a person for a $1,000 free bet at Club Hawthorne.
No, did you say when you hear a horse gallop?
Yeah, the horse gallop, yeah.
That's Secretariat. We speak more reverentially.
Oh.
With reverence. And you hear Secretariat gallop. Okay. That's when you call it.
All right. I beg your pardon. I probably should have mentioned that. I forgot that you were there with the audio live when he was galloping.
I was.
So that's the.
I was 12 years old.
Yes, the authentic gallop of Secretariat. So we'll have that.
That's correct. I had a little Marantz recorder, and I was there when I was 12.
We are gauging your excitement about the Chicago Bears because, by God, the draft is finally here. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
He also, on this pivot interview he did with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, Fred Taylor. If you haven't heard it, if you get some time, play it on the Bluetooth in your car, play it wherever, and just enjoy it while you eat your lunch. It is outstanding stuff. They get into everything, as I said to Hoodie earlier, from the painted nails to the crying with his mom to this to that, to the ghost he's chasing, who happened to wear number 12, to where was he when Justin Fields got traded?
I was in the car. I was driving to a business meeting, and I'm listening to music, bobbing my head. I probably got on Drake, and I'm chilling. I'm in West Hollywood area driving to a business meeting, and all I see is my phone explodes, whether it's actual just regular fans or whether it's ESPN, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. And I pick up my phone and it's going off and I'm trying to figure out what just happened, because it went from just nothing and maybe a couple of texts to just like phone just do-do-do-do-do. I end up calling a couple of people and it's just like, well, we know where their mind and heart is at this instance. Let's prepare, get ready, and handle things, you know, accordingly, and you know, still do our, you know, due diligence on the situation and things like that. But in that moment, it was just like, it was kind of like, wow, because I didn't do my top 30, you know, visit yet. They didn't have my medicals and things like that. So they have it all now, but it's nothing. But it was, you know, and I had a good time in my top 30, but. Yeah, it was interesting right then in that moment because it was just so unexpected in that instance.
So thoughts from Caleb Williams.
So when he said, wow, we know where their mind is at, and they didn't have my medicals, he hadn't made his top 30 visit. And there are people this weekend on social media, I was scrolling through it on the plane yesterday, and they're like, wait. You really didn't know his medicals and you traded Justin? Yes, I've been screaming since last December this was done. Done! Did not mean the evaluation of Caleb was done, but whether it was Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, they were moving on. There was never, ever a discussion, trade and use the hall bell that Hoodie's got right over there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That was
never in play. Ever. They were moving on, and they wanted it to be Caleb, and he has checked every box. And when he puts the navy blue suit, which he talks about, he said, it's going to be me, but it's navy blue. It's got some silver and gray kind of in it. He said, it's a businessman look, but it's got some of me. He said, I'm ready. Let's go.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Caleb Williams.
That's it.
So let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. That gives you an idea of what Caleb Williams had to say on the Pivot podcast. What's your excitement level about the Bears? 1 through 10. Excited, obviously, we number 10 based on what we got to have this week. Thursday is a draft, and so but there's still some mystery to it, especially with the number 9 pick. To the phone lines we go. We say hello to Pat in Plainfield. He's with us on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Just calling. So my excitement level is probably a 20, but I'm also kind of, like, I guess cautiously optimistic just because in my 35 years of being a Bears fan, like, I've been let down so many times. And with USC quarterbacks like Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, Sam Darnold, like, how nervous should I be, I guess?
No, I think that you should be cautiously optimistic. But I'll tell you, Pat, that for me, I've been really excited. But it started before the draft this week. It started with free agency. Now, I've been on cloud nine about the amount of moves that the Bears have made because you and I and Cap and all the rest of the Bears fans aren't used to this flurry of moves. Look at what they've been able to do. Upgrading at the free safety spot, getting a new running back, getting a new wide receiver, getting three offensive linemen. Now, again, activity doesn't necessarily mean accomplishment, but you are addressing holes on your roster. So I've been excited from that standpoint. It's only going to get higher as we find out what they're going to do in the first round. It's pretty. I think it's. But you're good, Pat, to be cautiously optimistic because we all should be as a fan.
Yeah, it's. Look, this is a legacy-defining decision by Ryan Poles. It is.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else in the class becomes Patrick Mahomes and we've got another Mitchell Trubisky, he probably loses his gig, and he's okay with that. He understands that. I've asked him that question. He said, "When we make this pick." Whoever it is, as we go through the eval, if we miss and Justin becomes a star in Pittsburgh and Bo Nix is the best quarterback out of the club, this is why you do it. You make these tough decisions.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. So we got a 20 out of the box when we ask the question, what is your excitement level about the Bears this week on draft week? We say hello to JP in Humboldt Park. He's with us on Cap and J Hood. Hey, JP, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing this week?
We are
awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, here's where I'm at. Because a couple weeks ago, I called in. You know, I'm the trucker JP guy that couldn't really get excited and everything. And going into this week, I'm like of the opinion of, yeah, everything sounds nice. And I did watch the whole interview because I was in New York and I was traveling back to Illinois and everything. So mm-hmm. I watched the whole interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he seems like a nice kid and everything looks okay and everything like that. But I'm of the opinion of, I trust Ryan Poles, but I'm of the opinion like, I'm the Ronald Reagan phrase, trust but verify. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that's where I'm at. Like, everything sounds nice, but before I throw all my cards in, let me just see it on the field. That's what I mean by verify. You know, is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. But, okay, here's what I would say to you, JP. Look, I'm the guy who pushes his heart all in. If it's something I really, really, really want, I'm all in, whether it's this year's Cubs team, let's go. This year's Bears team, let's go. Because I can't be the guy that's just not my personality. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I hope he's good. If they're really good, then I'll jump it. Nope. I am going to jump off the 99th floor without a parachute, and I'm going all in, and hopefully the ride ends beautifully.
Hey, man, you fan how you want to fan, but this whole double dutch thing on the outside of the double dutch rope, and I don't know if I should get in, I don't know if I should get in or not, and then jumping in. All I know is that if you're a Bears fan, you're in it. You're in it, unless you're out of it.
Right. If you're a Bears, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Just you're in it, Cap. Like no matter what, you may question the moves or not sure about the moves, but ultimately you're still in it.
You're in. That's our guy. So, I mean, when Commissioner Goodell plays that, the little jingle plays with the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, Chicago Bears. Thank you. Jay Moore, select Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. If you're a Bears fan, that's your guy. That's it. That's why if they hadn't picked him and they had traded the pick and kept Justin, I'm still rooting for the Bears. I said it a billion times. It's not the decision I would have made, but I would. That's still our guy. He's not anymore.
Could the Bears be seriously considering moving up in the draft? We'll address that. And also, something else from Caleb Williams that you might have missed that you need to hear. That's coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
Bevy ESPN betting out live in Illinois. Sign up today to users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning to J.W. Norland.
Bet. Good morning. We finally made it to draft week.
Yes, sir.
Finally. I woke up this morning with a pep in my step. I'm just so happy we are finally here after 4 months of discourse around what the Bears are going to do in the draft. How are we feeling kicking off draft week?
It's been a crawl to try to get there. But, you know, but the conversations have been great because we've been going back and forth on what the Bears can do, looking at the NFC North, looking at the entire NFC. And so I think it's very compelling what's happening here with the Bears. But again, we felt this way anyway, Shay, based on what we saw in free agency. Just the movement there, just the upgrades that you're trying to make. So I'm pretty jacked up about what the season can bring.
Yeah, I cannot wait for Thursday night, man. Oh, God. When he, Commissioner Goodell, strides up to the podium,
Ooh. The
pick is in.
Yeah.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. He's in the Navy suit, and he said, my lady looks ready to roll. They've got, the designers have all got them all decked out, both of them. He said, it's businesslike, but it's me. I cannot wait. That's our guy.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
I'm just going to kick it off with Shot or No Shot. Caleb Williams should shake the commissioner's hand with burnt orange and blue fingernails.
Sure.
Whatever.
Shot.
I don't. Whatever. Who cares, man?
He's got to lean into it. Cap, would you paint your nails on Thursday? I'm thinking about painting my nails Thursday morning.
No, I will not. Because that's not who I am.
Come on.
No. No. Why would I do that?
Why not?
For what reason?
Because you're such a Caleb lover. You want to paint the nails. Get a little Caleb action.
No. It's not me. I got to be me. I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. There's some that want to reach through the radio right now, punch me in the face. Bring a platoon, pack a lunch, take your best shot. I'm okay with that.
He means no. He means bring your lawyer.
Did he just dare people to come punch him in the face, Woody? Is that what he just did?
It's time for Caps Punch a Cap Day.
Dude, line that'd be a great bit.
Oh, line up across state and lake, and you get a chance to take a shot at David Kaplan. 312. Come on in. Call in. Qualify for a chance to hit Cap in the face.
And that's, I'm okay with that. I don't want everyone to agree with me. That's boring. But paint my nails isn't my thing. So, you want me to tell you.
That's actually a good promotion. Pay $20. You can line up to take a swing at Kaplan. All proceeds go to Bernie's book bank.
Yes.
There you go.
Also, bring a platoon and a lunch, he said also, while you do that. Right?
Yep.
A platoon and the lunch.
That's it. Take a shot.
There you have it. All right, Shay.
We'll just call it Hug a Cap Day.
Sure.
That's it.
And then take a swing.
Well, then nobody will show up.
Here's Shay Norman. Shay?
Let's jack.
It was a freebie. All right. The implicit trust in Ryan Poles has kind of been interesting to me. A lot of the people that I've been talking to are like, really, I'm not going to be angry no matter what. People have preferred outcomes. Some people want a wide receiver. I'm in the camp that wants an edge rusher. But if he ends up with Rome Odunze or if he trades up for Marvin Harrison, I'm not going to come in, yell, and scream about it. I'll be fine with it. So my question for the two of you, shot or no shot, there is no reasonable pick Ryan Poles could make Thursday night that would genuinely upset you.
That's a shot.
That's a shot. I mean, within reason, obviously.
Right. Like, you can't take a punter. You can't take a kicker. Don't take two quarterbacks. But if he does something that we kind of expect, nothing will be upsetting.
No, only the Raiders would do that. Take a kicker that early in the draft.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Yes. Do that. But correct. He was the best on the board, though.
But people forget when the Reds, then Redskins,
for them,
when they drafted RG3 like second, they ended up drafting Kirk Cousins in the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what? Two quarterbacks?
I would say that, I believe, and it, as we mentioned, wide receiver, defensive line, there are needs on this football team that are paramount for this ball club, for the youth of the ball club. I'm thinking about now, but I'm thinking about the future when it comes to this draft. Guys that are going to be anchors for your team early. So, Cap, I'm fine.
If I hear he traded next year's number one to move up to get Marvin Harrison, okay, let's go. If I hear he traded down to 15 and he's drafting an offensive tackle and he got an extra second round pick out of it and he got a receiver, I'm okay. Let's go.
Shay.
Oh, Cap, on the topic of trading up for Marvin Harrison, Adam Schefter reported something this morning kind of interesting. He had a whole list of tidbits ahead of the NFL draft.
It's a great column.
We'll get to some of them in around the NFL. It's very interesting. But one thing that stood out was that the league could have a resolution on the Falcons tampering with Kirk Cousins this week, and it is expected to be severe. The comp he brought up was the Dolphins losing their first-round pick last year for tampering with Tom Brady, who they didn't even sign. Schefter suggests the league could strip Atlanta of the eighth pick. It would move Chicago up to eight. That would not only make it more interesting because if offensive players go in the first seven, you get your pick of defense if you choose to go that route. It's more likely one of the top three receivers is on the board. You also get a little bit closer to trading up for Marvin Harrison Jr. So I pulled up the value chart.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from eight based on the value chart to four would cost you the eighth pick and a second next year. Shot or no shot, the Bears would have to move up for Marvin Harrison if that's the cost.
Well, first of all, when we talked to Albert Breer, he said Monty Ossenfort, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, is not only trying to extort you, he has you at gunpoint. And you would never, ever be able to get him just for one of the second-round picks next year. It would absolutely cost you next year's number one, at least. I'm okay with that. If Poles, if his evaluation is that dude right there is a perennial all-pro, go get him. Whatever it takes.
You think Harrison will be there at eight?
No. No shot.
What's the lowest? I guess the question is, what's the lowest you think he'll could go?
Someone always slides.
Because if we think he's going to be a run on quarterbacks early.
Well, if it's never happened, but there's speculation that four could go in the first four picks. That's never happened.
Right.
If that happened,
is Harrison next? Is Alt next?
I would think Alt goes to the Chargers. But the Chargers do need a receiver. They got rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
Right.
So if they could take Harrison right there. Then the Giants at six, they need a receiver. They could easily do that.
I think Harbaugh is a smart guy and realizes that he needs a cornerstone weapon at wide receiver if he's there.
But he also would love to have another tackle to go with Rashawn Slater. I mean, that gives you bookends.
Yeah.
And so,
but I mean,
I think most people expect the Chargers to go the Joe Alt route at this point, right? Or Tennessee.
More Tennessee, just based on all the mocks that you've gone through, that we've gone through, we see Alt in Tennessee seems like it's a match. But who knows? I'm asking, like, where is Marvin Harrison's value? That's what I want to know.
Can you imagine the Chargers go, like, four quarterbacks go off the board. The Chargers go offensive line at five. The Giants go neighbors. Tennessee goes alt, and then you're sitting there at 8, Atlanta's in front of you, and Marvin Harrison's still on the board?
Man.
Well, then you could go, because they probably aren't taking a receiver, because they've got Drake London. They just signed Darnell Mooney. They've got Kyle Pitts.
Atlanta.
Right. They got Bijan Robinson. They got Tyler Algier. They've got Kirk Cousins. They got a really good offense already. They probably go Dallas Turner in that situation, who they've been linked to for a long time, if they keep their pick. Just, and then Marvin Harrison sitting there at 9.
Yes, exactly right. So just I want people to understand what just happened there. What Cap did is he built a bridge to Marvin Harrison at 9. That's what just happened there.
Right.
Not that Marvin Harrison is bad to the other teams, but he just built a bridge just so the Bears can get him at 9. That's what you just did.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, because he said the Giants take Neighbors ahead of Harrison. That would be somewhat of a surprise.
If that's the case, then the Giants are the Giants. I mean, Marvin Harrison is, as we talk about Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison is the best wide receiver on the board.
Agreed. Now, there are teams, though, that do not have him number one.
That's fine.
There are. And I know for a fact the Bears watched him multiple times. Neighbors.
Yeah.
Love him.
Now, on my mock draft, I have him number one, despite what other teams think. I have him number one because I watched him.
Harrison.
Yes.
Yes.
So on my personal mock draft here on the yellow pad, I have him as the best wide receiver.
He's an amazing football player.
Yeah.
So is Malik Neighbors. They're both great players. Yeah. I have Adunze third of those three guys. And he's great, too.
Did you see the rumors? I think it was last week, and they were obviously BS, that Marvin Harrison was tanking his own draft stock so he could get drafted by Chicago?
Nonsense.
Well, he only made two visits. He only visited Arizona and Chicago.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nonsense.
Did not go to any other team. Rejected him.
Shay.
All right, the Bulls were eliminated in the play-in for the second straight year on Friday, and Arturas Karnišovas did not wait to meet the media. He said on Saturday he takes full responsibility, and he vowed to bring changes this offseason. Shot or no shot, the change the Bulls need is a new executive vice president of basketball operations.
That's a shot.
That's a shot, sir.
100% a shot, that guy. He's had all these opportunities. I'm not alone here. Hoodie's not alone. Many of you have been calling in, screaming, we've got to get some shooting. Nope, we're good. We'll go get Javon Carter and Torrey Craig. No, this guy had his chance. If I was the owner, he would not have been having that press conference on Saturday. He would have gotten the phone call after the game on Friday night. Yes, when you fly back, I need to meet you for breakfast tomorrow morning. And it would have been the least tasty breakfast he ever ate, because I'd have fired his ass right at the table. Yep. Hey, man, appreciate the efforts. Too conservative for my taste. Out. And tell Mark he's next. He's going to.
Yep.
Out. Done.
Yeah.
That front office, listen to me loud and clear over there. Your front office is an embarrassment. An embarrassment to a hardworking city that supports our teams, that went out there and last Wednesday made the United Center a very hostile place for Atlanta. Guess what? Your front office is an embarrassment. Fire their ass.
I don't think there's any question about that. In my imagination, I would like to think that Michael Reinsdorf said something to Arturas Karnišovas for him to change his tune, because we haven't heard him say, this does not work, we need to make changes. It's the first time he said it in his tenure. In my imagination, I would like to think that Michael Reinsdorf had the testicular fortitude to step to the general manager and the president of basketball operations to say, this sucks, this is not good enough, change it. But I feel like Karnišovas had to say something, because he had to be embarrassed. He continued to talk about continuity and everything's fine at the deadline until it wasn't. Once again, you win a game and you get bounced. And so that is a hallmark of this organization and this iteration of the Chicago Bulls. And so, you know, it's great for him to just put it all on the line and say, hey, we got to make changes. But what does that really mean in this organization? What real changes? So I just... it's a typical nonsense. We'll talk more about it at 9:35, because for people that missed it, because it was buried on a Saturday morning, by the way, this press conference. I know many probably missed it with their busy weekend. You got to hear this at 9:35. So can you squeeze in one more, Shea? I know we got around the NFL.
Yeah, I can, because after talking smack on my name last week to everybody in the station who would listen about my errors in beer league softball, Tyler Aki took second base yesterday in beer league softball. He dropped a pop-up. and then fielding a throw from the outfield, broke his finger so badly that he might need surgery. Shot or no shot, this is karma for talking badly about a friend.
Damn.
Not bad at it.
No, absolutely not. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. It's not karma. It's just that it happens. He's a competitor.
Oh, how's he getting off so easy?
He's a competitor. Tyler's a guy that he drops a pair and lets go. You?
He dropped a pop-up.
That happens, man.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I mean, listen, a guy like that, usually shorthanded, made a mistake, probably sun in his eyes.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. And, you know, maybe a, you know, on the grounder, don't know, is a pop fly, right? More than likely, maybe a bird hit it. Could have happened. Anything could have happened.
Correct. So and, you know, he's probably, his mind is thinking, oh, God, we're probably in the, bit in the hole here. And if Norling's up, we're certainly not going to score. So I've got to carry the load. So I give hats off to Tyler for the competitive nature that he brings to the game.
So hopefully all is well with Tyler, because here's a guy here that was working hard and unfortunately got injured. Hopefully he'll come out whole on the other side.
Right. Whether he is in a wheelchair or in a splint or a cast today.
We'll support him.
We'll support him, and he'll be there for the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler.
This is unbelievable.
So all the best to Tyler, the competitor that he is.
In fact, I think he's retaining Howard Enkin to go after you because he said that you distracted him when he injured the finger.
You too.
Enkin law. Injury law made personal.
You can take Tyler home too. If your significant other has an injury, it's only for 45 cents a day where you could take care of your own Tyler Aki. The number's on the bottom of the screen. The shivering dog that is Tyler Aki, because of the injury, flies all over him. We can't have this. We have to take care of our Akis. Tyler, we love you. Call the number on the bottom of the screen right now.
Or click on the QR code.
I will say, after I finished hitting my friend with a sledgehammer, he did get a hit with a broken finger. So, can't deny, gamer.
Yes, there's no question about
that. Gamer mentality.
And you too can bring home your own Tyler Aki. Around the NFL is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Remember to be listening for the Galloping Horse. Caller number 10 will be qualified for a $1,000 free bet, Club Hawthorne. You'll be able to hear that Galloping Horse at some point this hour right here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, our way of saying thanks for listening to us weekday mornings 7 to 10. Around the NFL with Shay Norling. Shay?
It is draft week. I'm going to be all NFL draft all week, culminating on Wednesday with the official Snorling mock drafts. I'm very excited. Very excited to put these out there for the Chicago Bears on Wednesday.
Yes.
Today, Adam Schefter had a bunch of nuggets in his column at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you about a few of them. The first, why the Cardinals are in the catbird seat. Schefter says Ostenfurt is sitting in the, Ostenfurt, the GM in Arizona, sitting in the eyes of one coach, quote, in the catbird seat. He sits at number four and can take all the calls he wants. With quarterbacks presumably going off the board, the three picks in front of him, the draft effectively starts with the fourth pick in Arizona.
Hmm.
Are the Cardinals in the most enviable position in this draft?
Okay, so the Bears get their quarterback. Washington gets their quarterback. I mean, I know there's a lot of love for Jaden Daniels. And so Drake may possibly go into the Patriots at three. We'll see. Or maybe it's vice versa. But at four, Cap, do the Cardinals, I mean, it won't be a quarterback, but it could be offensive line. It could be defensive line. Could be wide receiver. Marvin Harrison's right there if they want it at four.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say the team at number four. What was your term? How did you phrase it?
Controller.
The most enviable position in the draft.
Yeah. No, the most enviable position in the draft is number freaking one. And we've got it. But number four is nice if you're not taking a quarterback. And they have come out and said, we're all in with Kyler Murray. He's QB1. So they're not looking to do that. So they get their choice of the non-quarterback players. But, I mean, they need a lot out there.
So, Shay, do you believe with that, with the question that you asked or the comment that you made? So if the Cardinals take a wide receiver at four, do you think we get a short run on wide receivers from there?
Yeah.
Or does that push Alt down? How does that look to you?
If they take a receiver at four, I think Marvin comes off the board. I think the Chargers are probably a little more interested in Alt, which means the Giants are going to be a little more interested in Neighbors or Adunze. I think if they end up staying there and taking a receiver, the likelihood of all three of them falling to the Bears significantly shortens. But I don't think they're going to do that because push comes to shove. When their pick is up at number four, I think the Broncos are going to be on the phone. The Raiders are going to be on the phone. The Vikings are going to be on the phone. Teams are going to want to move up and get that pick.
Mm-hmm. And they need a lot. It's not like they go, well, we're ready made. We just need a receiver or a tackle. Well,
Arizona?
Yeah.
And that's where maybe, like, they're not getting Caleb Williams, so it's not the most enviable position, but they're going to get a boatload for a pick that otherwise wouldn't have fetched it because the draft effectively starts there.
It'll be super cool, man, and I hope.
I get it.
I'm sure Poles has already spoken with them about what it would cost to move up there.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I get what you're saying, Shay. 1-2-3 quarterback, and then the wild card is what are the Cardinals going to do, and then what are you willing to offer if you want to get up there?
Now, the Patriots could throw a wrench in this and say the draft starts with us and decide to trade out a three. But the stories that I'm reading in this Adam Schefter article that all signs continue to point to Washington taking Jaden Daniels, number two. Mm-hmm. Drake May, number three. New England Patriot.
Yeah, there's talk that New England is entertaining trading out of that pick. We'll see.
It's a tough thing, man. Like Robert Kraft, I remember at the owners' meeting, said the number one priority for him is getting a top-flight quarterback in this draft. It'll be difficult for Elliott Wolf to explain why he traded out of three if Drake May is there. That's a tough thing to explain to an owner who's on the record saying, I want a quarterback.
Unless he says Drake May's not good enough.
And Kraft's other quote, don't hire Bill.
Correct.
Here's Shay Norlick. Shay.
That's correct.
On the topic of the Patriots moving down, Schefter talked about that, said the Patriots could trade out at three and then do an Arizona type of move and trade back up. So they could trade out of three for whatever they decide they want to get picks-wise, and then move back up in the draft to try to vulture J.J. McCarthy in that top 10.
Are the Patriots afraid that Drake May won't be there and going to play some chicken with Washington?
That's kind of what it feels like. I feel like the Patriots are thinking, like, if Drake May goes off the board in front of us, we have to have some feelers out there. But if he's there, I think you just take him.
Yeah, like, if he falls to you at three, I would not take Jaden Daniels if I'm the Patriots.
No.
I would take J.J. McCarthy for a flyer. Because Brissett's ahead of him, right? Is he number one?
Brissett is number one. So you're telling me that if the Washington Commanders select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina, you're telling me if you're New England, you don't take Jaden Daniels?
I would not.
I wouldn't.
And so what would you do then?
I would probably end up taking J.J. at three if I were New England, because here's the problem. Like, I get the fantasy of trading down and then trading back up so you can select your quarterback, but talk about a gamble. Because if you trade down and somebody else decides they're going to vulture you and go and get J.J. McCarthy, then you're screwed. Then you're going into this season with maybe Bo Nix and Jacoby Brissett. Like, you just miss out on the premium player. I think when you have the third pick in the draft and no quarterback, don't think too hard. Get the premium quarterback.
Cap, you know what this is in New England. You know what this is. This is like the Bulls trying to replace Michael Jordan with Pete Myers or Jalen Rose. I mean, trying to fill the shoes of Tom Brady. Like, that legacy has been so cemented. Like, we're going back to Rod Rust right now, this Patriots team.
Wow.
No, seriously, like you're trying to get the best quarterback available, but there is that pressure of the Brady regime, of the excellence that was the New England Patriots. They got to get this right, or they're going to be just spinning their wheels like they used to previous to Belichick and Brady being there. You and I remember how bad the Patriots were. Their pop-up championship against the Bears in 85. They were okay, but they were not stellar. If they don't get this right now, it's going to be a problem. All that winning in this post-Belichick and Brady era, whew, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I will be surprised if Jaden Daniels isn't gone in the top three. I'll be surprised.
Sure, Washington could take him, sure. You want the next RG3? Go ahead. Can you squeeze that one more?
Wow.
And before the injury, is not bad, by the way, right. RG3.
Both teams from the Super Bowl two seasons ago were being rumored to potentially trade up. Eagles in need of a defensive back, and Howie Roseman loves to move up in the draft.
Yes.
And the Kansas City Chiefs picking 32nd and now kind of desperately in need of a wide receiver, as Rashee Rice could be facing jail time. I don't know if he's going to play this year. The Chiefs may be in the interest of moving up from 32 to draft a wide receiver. Granted, that's probably the deepest position in this draft. I mentioned last week, 100 of CBS Sports, or 17 of CBS Sports' top 100 prospects were wide receivers.
You know what? I can't wait. From your mock draft standpoint, Shay, I'm interested in 1 through 9 on your draft as much as I am 32. I can't wait to see what gem you're going to pull out of there for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great organization, solid front office. I want to see what gem they can find in the bottom of this draft to say, oh, my God, how come the Bears? Like that kind of thing, because that's what Kansas City is. Like, I can't wait to hear your number 32 pick, because you know it's going to be solid. It's the way the Chiefs do it.
Yeah, and there'll be a good player sitting there. There will be. I mean, I'm not trading back to 32, but
is there a Lamar Jackson down there?
I don't think it'd be the Bears, but could they trade up to 17 and try to get wide receiver 5 instead of wide receiver 10?
As you see, the Chiefs are as close to the Patriots as possible as far as, hey, we don't have stellar wide receivers across the board, but Mahomes can make these guys on the roster. And we saw this, the ebb and flow of this past season, right? Right, Shay? I mean, we saw this. Like, guys that were substandard at the position, but Mahomes was making those guys. Just like how Tom had to do that with the Patriots. Substandard at the wide receiver spot, but still winning, finding a way, because the system supersedes everything.
And this Rashee Rice deal has really kind of thrown them a bit of a curveball. They're going to have to figure out what they want to do with wide receiver.
And you're saying he would be in jail, and that's why he couldn't play?
I don't know if he's actually going to get jail time, but he's facing multiple charges. I don't know that he's going to play.
All right, Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox and everything else. MLB is coming up next on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.